Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Lies and the lying liars that tell them. That's a title, I think, of a book I perused once some years ago, yes, written by a liberal. And I remember that was Al Franken, dim-witted senator from Minnesota. You know, the guy who is afraid that the new iPhone fingerprint scanner is going to compromise security because fingerprints are public and permanent, whereas passwords are private and dynamic. Now, Franken, as the dim-witted, by the way, I'm playing around here, as those of you who are true brain massage aficionados know. And I'm teasing the senator who spent, I don't know, how many years as a comedian on Saturday Night Live, who is well known among his peers as a very witty guy. Furthermore, in case you are new to the Brain Massage Show, terms like dim-witted, D-E-M hyphen witted, are clever technical artifacts created by the brain masseur for satirical purposes. Something the senator from Minnesota can appreciate, I'm sure, since his entire book, Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, is categorized as satire. It was a disappointing read for me because I hoped, sincerely, it would invite me into the mindset of a bona fide liberal who would seriously explain why he believed conservatives like, you know, Coulter, Hannity, O'Reilly, and others should be characterized as liars. Really, I truly wanted and hoped the book would like, you know, state a standard belief among these conservatives and then expose the facts that prove their position or their statements were lies. Or that they were premised upon lies. Sadly, however, the book was a monotonous rant about people he did not like and positions he disagreed with, throwing his satirical stones at anyone who disagreed with him, sometimes with cheap shots. One example, he threw rocks at Coulter for using endnotes instead of footnotes. Can you believe that? And that was because it's more difficult to run a quick check on sources with endnotes. And yet, Franken used endnotes in the book in which he was criticizing Coulter for using endnotes. So it was what I call one of those Frankensteins. Stein, by the way, is a German word for rock or stone. It was a Frankenstein. Anyway, I know you thought it meant mug or glass or jar, but it means stone or rock. So the entire book by Mr. Al Franken was a bunch of Frankensteins hurled at his political enemies, making Franken himself a sort of Frankenstein, you know, a mad scientist animating something dead, like liberalism, trying to give a brain to a corpse and ending up creating a monster instead. Oh, wow. That is so right on. You catch that? Liberals trying to give a brain to the dead corpse of Marxism brought over to America by statists, but they're ending up with a monstrosity. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because I'm talking about lies and the lying liars who tell them. And since Franken used that as a title for his book, I felt I owed it to him to mention the source for the title. And also because Franken recently surfaced in the news expressing concern about the fingerprint scanner on the new iPhone. And I thought, well, there you go. A liberal politician, a senator no less, who thinks it's the government's job to stick its nose into companies who offer products to customers with fingerprint scanners built in that the people can buy or not buy as they please. Thank you. I think the government shutdown should include shutting down idiots like Franken. Careful. Careful now about judging me for stuff like this. Franken titled one of his books, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot. So, if Franken can call Rush an idiot, I suppose it's appropriate for me to point out the idiocy of that Frankenstein. Think about it. Many Americans are allowing the government to become their ultimate provider, their ultimate protector. And before long, government will take the place of your own conscience and even your brain. You know, it's as Reagan said once, a government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take it all away. Now let's add to that, shall we? Any government that grows big enough to give you everything you want becomes big enough to demand you give it everything you have and everything you are. You want government to control your health care? Then you must give it control of your lifestyle. You want government to control your education? You must give government control over what you know. You want government to control what others say? You must give government control over what you say. The more you take from government, the more it owns you. Every benefit you demand government provide costs you a measure of your liberty. You are trading liberty for security, and government is buying securities. Think about it. They are revving up the printing presses, and hey, they're not giving it away, friends. They're making purchases here. They're buying your soul. See the piglets running to the government nipples to latch on and get theirs. Sheep don't suckle on sow's breasts. Think about it. Remember, it is impossible for the government to give you anything it did not take from someone else. Thief. As America continues moving out from under the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is turning more and more to government. You are replacing God with government, and when government becomes your God, you wait. Won't be too long before you'll be commanded to bow the knee to its statue, or godless statutes. Interesting. As a test whether you are a pig connected to a government nipple and so owned by the government, they will construct statutes that will compel the Christian, the sheep, to act in direct contradiction to their God. It always happens this way, you know. You become a dependent upon the state. You put the state in the place of God in your life, and soon you find out that the state is a jealous God. It will tolerate no sovereign above it. It will finally erect some statute like Nebuchadnezzar's image and demand all citizens bow to it or suffer the consequences. Watch how they begin this with Obamacare. Soon, unless you bow to the statute and do obeisance to the sovereignty of the state and submit to Obamacare, you will be unable to receive any health care at all. What will you do when a representative of state-controlled health care visits your house and says, you have too many children. No more children for you. If you get pregnant again, you'll be required to abort the child, but no worries, because your government will pay for it. Never happened? Really? China, anyone? Ever hear about that one? A government policy restricting families, so, well, I don't remember what it is or where that's at right now, one or two children each or something like that. I mean, a state responsible to pay for all these kids and all their health care needs and so on. I mean, hey, what do you expect them to do? Come on, they can't have all these people going around having babies without some sort of government control. I'll tell you what'll happen. The pigs will eat their own. Yeah, but true sheep, they'll defy that commandment. They'll defy Pharaoh and refuse to kill their children. The pigs will all bow to the Antichrist statute, but the sheep will not. But the true ones won't anyway. Those wolves in sheep's clothing will, or the dogs wearing sheep's clothing, or the pigs wearing sheep's clothing will. The question becomes whether God will intervene and send a Moses, or whether he will send us a Daniel, or his friends Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Such are being prepared at the Lighthouse, by the way. The child training program at the Lighthouse is specifically organized to prepare a place for the nurture of the baby Moses, to rear up the champions of the future fight of faith. You know, like a Daniel, who will be an influence upon the Meshachs and Shadrachs and Abednego, to stand strong against the pressures of the politically correct crowd and refuse to bow to the image of the all-powerful state, to prepare the Elishas and the Elijahs of our generation. You know, men and women of God who will stand and not kneel. Guys like Elisha, you know, who would say to the face of King Ahab, quote, "As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee," end quote. I mean, real men, you know, not these little panty-waist, limp-wristed little preacherettes. Or John the Baptist, who openly criticized then King Herod for committing adultery. Yeah. And you say, well, he lost his head for that one, didn't he? And I say, yes, he did. And I say, I'd rather speak the truth and obey my God and reprove the unfruitful works of darkness to its face and lose my head for it than to disobey God and suppress the truth and lose my soul for it, or lose my self-respect or the dignity that is mine as created in the image and likeness of God with inalienable rights, a king and priest before the Most High God. Give me liberty or give me death. You say, wow, this guy's really going over the top, am I? Listen, those who follow my show for some 9 or 10, how many years now? Quite a while. You know, I've been ahead of the trends for many, many years now. And I'm telling you, widespread persecution of believers is coming unless there is a general awakening among believers in America who will shake off the lie of democratic Marxism, the lie of Christian fatalism, the lie of pacifist Christianity, the lie of the divine right of kings doctrine that's resurfacing in our culture today, the lie of Baalism. The idea that everyone's idea of deity is equivalent, that all believers worship the same God, albeit by different names and with different forms. Nimrod is rising. Yeah, the globalist spirit, the one world government routine. You know, bring everybody under the power of the government. The spirit of Antichrist is gaining strength in our country. and the spirit of Antichrist constantly strives to concentrate power in the government until it is strong enough to take the place of God. You better wake up. You know, sometimes I just get into a sort of prophet's boil, you know, and when that happens, I've learned to go with it. I planned a different first segment for you today. I was going to lay out some of the popular lies circulating among American conservatives to point out that lying is not a left or a right issue. It's a human tendency that must be checked on both the right and the left because both engage in it. But it seems the Spirit of the Lord took me up and carried me in another direction. Satan is the father of lies, my friends, and those who choose deceit as a method for advancing their agenda are serving his interests and furthering his agenda, no matter what else they might think they are doing. The Lord would have you understand that current leadership in our government on both sides of the aisle, although more so on the left, nevertheless, on both sides are attempting to bring us out from under God and under government. But if enough of God's people, his holy nation, his kings and priests, will wake up and vigorously step forward and use the sword of the Spirit to lop off the heads of this multi-headed Leviathan as they rear up, the most recent being Obamacare, we can overcome this. Wake up, America. Wake up. I'll be right back. My dear friends of the Brain Masseur, I love it when I meet you out in public and you let me know you listen to the Brain Massage Show. And by the way, when you meet me, if you'll say lights on or lights off in the course of our introductions, I'll present you with a Brain Massage writing pen that includes a light switch so you can turn your light on while listening to the Brain Massage Show or turn it off as the case may be. How about joining me for breakfast on October 6th? We'll begin serving at 8:30 a.m. You can show up anytime between then and 9:15 a.m. Come to the Lighthouse. When you come to the door, an usher or one of our hosts or hostesses will greet you. In the course of your introductions, mention you are a listener of the Brain Massage Show, and then say lights on or lights off. That's a secret password to get into the breakfast. You'll be escorted to join me for a nice continental breakfast. We will receive guests up till 9:15. The breakfast goes from 8:30 to 9:30. And while you're not obliged to stay for the service that follows, I hope you will, and then stand with me among my friends on Friend Day, October the 6th this year. That's October 6th. And we're rolling out the red carpet to all who will be our guests on that Sunday. Plan to come.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain.
Hello, my dear friends. I'm Jerry Scheinbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singing "The Enemy's on the March," an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Well, how do you feel about Obama barricading monuments, barring World War II vets from their monument in D.C.? Obama has put the word out that he wants Americans to feel as much pain as possible with the government shutdown. He ordered the barricading of the monuments as nothing else but a petty tantrum attempting to stick it to those in this country who fit a profile that very likely opposes his policies. Oh, Jerry, there you go again. You see your eyes rolling in the back of your head. Obama did not order this. Someone else did this. Obama is their boss, folks. He sets the policies and he sets the tone, and he has set one. Let me tell you, the people carrying out these orders are under his authority and serving at his pleasure. He did not interfere with the barricading of these monuments, although he knew about them. So, yep, he might just as well have personally delivered the message that he wanted the monuments barricaded. Wouldn't even be surprised if we found out he did. In fact, he might just as well have placed the barricades there himself, personally. There is absolutely no reason to barricade access to these monuments. Except he's throwing a little temper tantrum. I mean, it's like walking about in a park and checking out the various plaques here and there, commemorating this or that contributor to this or that fountain, stuff like that. This was simply a slap in the face of our veterans, and it's disgusting that he continues to get away with doing stuff like this. You know, I read somewhere that Obama sent out more security, read troops, to protect the monuments from being visited by World War II veterans than he sent to Benghazi to protect our ambassador and the three Americans who died with him. That character spent more money barricading and setting guard over the monuments to keep visitors away from them than would have been spent to leave them open. I wonder what that woman was doing who tried to ram through a barricade at the Capitol. Wow. I mean, it's getting really weird out there, folks, in D.C., you know? I wonder if she is some Obama gave me a phone chick that got furloughed because of the shutdown, and she's trying to make some kind of statement. I mean, hey, put this together. She rams the barricade. An officer attempts to wave her off. She runs into the officer with her car. I mean, you know, I mean, he's hit hard enough that he rolls up on the hood of her car and over the windshield and then falls to the ground. She backs up, goes at the barricade again. What are we dealing with here? A terrorist attack or what? I mean, what would you think? So she's using her car as a lethal weapon, attacking the Capitol, and the police take her out. When she and her weapon are searched, a car being used as a weapon, well, they don't find any bombs. They don't find a gun. They find no WMD. And I'll wait for it. Soon we'll hear from Jackson, Sharpton, and company that she was murdered by some white cracker. You know, well, I guess that depends on whether the officer who shot her was white or black. If it was a white officer, no doubt, he did it because he's a racist. Mm-hmm. And if it was a black officer, well, no doubt he did that in the line of his duty. Uh-huh. So we'll have to just wait until we find out what color was the shooter before we can know what was the motive for shooting her. And I think you get my point. Obama's America. Hannity tells a congressman that he is full of the stuff we dump into the crapper. This is really something. I've warned you that the polarization we see developing in politics in this country is moving to a very bad place. The problem is, as I've explained several times over the years I've been with you, is that American politics today is not a debate over how to reach a common goal or over differences of opinion about how to serve a common interest. We're not debating differences of opinion with a shared set of values or ethics. The divide is at the core of our beliefs. The soul of America is torn in two. Let's look at this example of what I mean, and this first shot fired, if you will, signaling the movement from debate to brawl. Okay, Hannity mentions to the senator from New Jersey, Bill Pascrell, I believe is how you pronounce his name, that he enjoys, that is Congress, enjoys a 72% subsidy for their health insurance that the rest of America does not enjoy, and that the exemption of Congress from being obliged to become part of Obamacare is wrong. Pascrell says that he has his own health plan and denies that there is any 72% subsidy from the taxpayer for his health care. Well, Hannity becomes disgusted with the senator from New Jersey and accuses him of lying. The senator becomes offended and sputters about Hannity being a liar and quote, don't call me a liar, and then, quote, and he goes, gets real personal, you know. So Hannity challenges the senator to a bet. He offers $10,000 to either's favorite charity if it turns out that Congress indeed does not have a 72% subsidy for health care. Well, Pascrell declines the challenge. So Hannity jumps on that and says, yeah, that's because you know that you're a liar. And so Hannity finally dismisses the senator with disgust, telling the senator that he's full of toilet content or diaper perfume. You understand. He used the more delicate expression that is derived from the name of the person who invented the toilet, Mr. Crapper, which then devolved into the name some use to identify the more or less solid waste that is deposited therein. And the point is, this is the verbal equivalent to throwing the gloves to the ice and going at it, is it not? And my point is that both sides in the debate are getting past reasoned argument and moving into verbal hockey fighting. And where can it go from here? But down. I mean, it can only get worse from here. So let's look into this. You know, first, who's telling the truth here? You'll be surprised to find out it's not so straightforward as you might think at first. I don't know for certain, but suppose for the moment that Pascrell does purchase his own health coverage and does not take any part of the 72% subsidy available to other congresspersons and their staff and aides. You see, but there is such a subsidy, is the point. In fact, the Congress, includes the House and Senate, by the way, does have a subsidy for health care that amounts to as much as 72% of the premiums they pay for their coverage. All Congress and their staff and aides are allowed to purchase into the same health care plan available to all federal employees. Additionally, the Congress and their staff and aides receive a subsidy to pay the premiums that amount to as much as 72% of those premiums. Now, this federal health insurance program is not part of an Obamacare exchange, at least not yet. And according to the Obamacare rules, no citizen can have a policy that is not formed under the auspices of the Obamacare Health Exchange. Now, this would mean congresspersons would lose their coverage and also lose the subsidy. Congress does not want to come under the law. And so Boehner and Reid got together secretly, by the way, which is so disgusting, got together secretly with Obama and worked out a deal to exempt Congress from the law. Now, other exemptions have, by the way, when I say Congress, you got to remember, I mean House of Representatives and Senate. We tend to separate those out nowadays. Well, Hannity was making the point that it's wrong for Congress, legislators of our country, to exempt themselves from laws that they put on our backs. And anyone with a decent regard for justice or equality under the law, or to use a more common term, fairness or fair play, would agree with that. However, this point got lost in the debate. You see, I suppose an individual congressperson might opt out of the federal health insurance and use another health insurance provider. I don't know. Or said congressperson might even forego the subsidy and pay it themselves out of their own pocket. I guess that's possible. And maybe Mr. Pascrell is one such congressperson. I doubt it, but it's possible. But even if he is not someone who purposely opted out of the federal health insurance program, it is possible, is it not, that Mr. Pascrell is actually not personally aware of how his health coverage is paid for, and so sincerely denied being a part of that or whatever, or denied it? Again, this is not likely, but it is possible, is it not, that Mr. Pascrell was not technically speaking lying when he said health coverage for individual members of the House and Senate varies from one to another. Now, watch this carefully. Perhaps Hannity was not aware that some congresspersons opt out of the federal health insurance program that is used by other federal employees. Perhaps he was not aware that Pascrell is one of those persons. But is that the point? Now listen, the point of Hannity's argument was not a fine point about Pascrell's personal health coverage arrangements. The point is that Congress, as a body, exempted themselves from the burden of a law they threw upon the backs of we the people. And that is outrageous. Mr. Pascrell has sufficient intelligence to know that was the point. His pretentious denunciations of Hannity's point on the technicality that, perhaps, he did not personally have federal insurance does not change the fact that this blowhard took the exemption, he supports the exemption, and that's where the truth is. And you begin to see my point. They're liars. Our government is overrun with liars. When they're called out, they dodge behind technicalities. They duck a conscience seared by years of using deceit to get their way behind manipulated, isolated facts that they use kind of like fig leaves to cover their naked lies. Like our first parents used fig leaves to cover their nakedness in the garden. Hiding their nakedness behind fig leaves was an effort to deceive. It was the first manifestation that they had come under the influence and power of the father of lies. Hannity was not lying, even if he was not technically precise in accusing Pascrell of taking a subsidy, unaware that perhaps Pascrell had refused to accept that subsidy. Hannity was not lying. If Pascrell was an honest man, he might have said, it's true, Congress has exempted itself from the law, but that it didn't apply to him because he doesn't participate in the federal health program. But instead of that, he grabbed the fig leaf of a technicality and attempted to hide his shameful nakedness, his lying heart behind it. Mr. Pascrell lied, plain and simple. Just like Obama goes in front of the people and calls it the Republican shutdown. You see, indeed, Republicans attached a rider to the funding bill that defunded Obamacare. It was rejected by the Senate, so they sent another one and another one and so on. And finally, they sent one that delayed the individual mandate, just like Obama has already illegally delayed the employer mandate. And the House of Representatives sent a bill asking the president to delay the individual mandate, too. And with that, to remove the exemption illegally given to Congress from the bill. And Obama and Reid locked arms and refused to budge on this. And so the government went into shutdown mode. And then Obama runs out there and calls it the Republican shutdown. You see, hiding his naked lie behind the fig leaf of a technicality. When truth, you see, you want some refreshing truth? How about some truth? Obama has given a one-year pass on the employer mandate, but refuses to give that same privilege to the American people. He has contrived with Reid and Boehner an exemption to the Congress out from under the law of Obamacare. We also understand he's worked out some backroom secret deal with his union buddies. Furthermore, he refuses to allow Congress to pass a law that would provide funding for government unless Congress knuckles, the tyrant that he is, and caves into him and gives into funding for Obamacare. So, you see, he is every bit as much to blame for the shutdown as the Congress is. And I say, truth is on the side of the House on this one. How do you call it? Congress cannot pass a law that obliges citizens and then exempts them from the law. Article 1, Section 6 of the Constitution spells out the only exemption that Congress gets, or the House of Representatives or the Senate gets, from laws, and makes it very specific. With the exception of treason, felony, or a breach of the peace, which would be a crime, a congressperson is, quote, privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses and in going to and returning from the same, end quote. Now, this serves to protect the people from having their representatives conveniently arrested and removed from the House during a certain vote where they might be expected to vote contrary to the interests of certain persons in power, of course. But this language really is adequate basis for extrapolating a general law that says Congress shall not pass a law and then exempt themselves from that law. However, because so much of this kind of dishonest nonsense is going on in our government today, many are calling for a 28th Amendment that states, quote, Congress shall make no law that applies to the citizens of the United States that does not apply equally to the senators and or representatives, and Congress shall make no law that applies to the senators and or representatives that does not apply equally to the citizens of the United States, end quote. Doesn't that sound reasonable? But you see, if we had honest people in our government, they would of course assume if they're citizens of the country, they are obliged by the same laws as everyone else. There would be no need for a 28th Amendment. An honest heart would see immediately the shamefulness of any ruler or ruling party putting a law upon others they refuse to live under themselves. That sort of tyrannical nonsense died in Russia with the end of nomenklatura. That's Russian, and it means people of name, who in that communist dictatorship were, before its demise, exempted from the laws of the land as persons of name or rank, you know, kind of a special class. The Congress wants to apply this communist principle here and make themselves the nomenklatura, the people of name, the special privileged class above the rest of us. So the little queen bees like Pelosi, Boxer, Feinstein, and so on can rule you so that you can't have a gun, but they can, you see. So they can rule you. You must be herded like cattle into the Obama health barns, but not them. You know, to be kept like their private stock, but they will be free. I despise that spirit. I despise those who would rule us with laws from which they exempt themselves. Liars, sworn to uphold the Constitution, but they daily desecrate both its spirit and its letter. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and you call and let me know that you see they are on. Call and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, lights off if you disagree. And either way, I'm pleased to hear from you, and you may express your opinion. Take as much time as you like and lay it out for me. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. Now, from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website. Use thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll see on the right-hand side, you might scroll down a little bit depending on how your screen is set up, and you'll see a place there for you to put lights on, lights off, give me your email address, your name, and then tell me whatever you want to tell me. Write as long a letter as you like. My dear radio friends, please join me this Sunday, tomorrow if you're listening to our Saturday broadcast, or today if you're listening to my Sunday AM broadcast. Join me for a continental breakfast as my guest for Friend Day. October 6th, the Lighthouse is rolling out the red carpet to our friends, and I'm inviting you to attend Friend Day as my guest. We'll be talking about the value of friendship, and I'll be preaching a special message on how to have forever friends. You know, if you ever needed to identify with a group of like-minded friends who will stand with you against those who would take away our liberties, it's today, my friends. We have two special services, each unique, and you are invited to both or either one of them. At 9:30 a.m., we have the first assembly. You'll enjoy some fun music and introduction as a friend of the Lighthouse and of the Brain Masseur. At 10:45, we'll have another service, a completely different service, where you'll get a taste of Old Path worship and Old Path gospel, and again, an introduction to the Lighthouse as friends of the Brain Masseur. If you come a little earlier, you can join me for a continental breakfast between 8:30 and 9:15 a.m. We'll be serving a continental breakfast. All you do is, when you arrive, mention lights on or lights off to anyone who greets you, and you'll be escorted to join me for a continental breakfast, where we can meet and chat a little bit before the service begins. Please accept my invitation. Be my guest this Sunday for Friend Day at the Lighthouse. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Every corruption we see in our houses of government began in our houses of worship. Christians began departing from the founders of our faith and ignoring God's laws long before our politicians began departing from our founders and ignoring the laws of our land. Revival must begin in the house of God with a return to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain.